We thank you, Lord God, that you have taught us not stuff, but you've taught us your love, your unconditional, no condition love. That you're not just kidding, you mean it. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are unable to destroy us by your law. Because we have not only looked at your law, we've laughed at it because it was too much. And then we found out you didn't mean it. You never expected any of us to keep your law, and we didn't do it. And we thank you, Lord God, for showing us another side, your heart. Your heart. That you gave the law to fall on Jesus, but you gave your heart to go to us. And Jesus came to take the law that lay upon us, take us out from under that law, forgive us for our multitude of sins, in order to bless us and give us another hope, another chance outside the law. We just weren't up to it. We just weren't able to reach that high. We're not good at perfect. What we're good at is sin, falling short. And we recognize that if we ever make it, it will be by your mercy and not by our goodness. It'll be by your goodness and not by our mercy. And we thank you, Lord God, that we never did what was right, and we never even helped to get ourselves in, but you did everything, and you're still doing it, and you're even changing us, and we're not doing that part either. And then you're perfecting us, and we're definitely not doing that part. So everything, all the glory, will have to pass over us and go straight to you. And we just thank you, Lord God, that the purpose of you receiving all the glory is so that you can turn around and give it to us for free. Undeserved, unexpected, unwarranted. And so we just give you the praise, Lord God, that it was always your intention from the foundation of the world to give us the kingdom and to make us holy, not to expect us to be holy, which we didn't do. Couldn't do, will never do. It's either you doing it or it's not going to happen. And since that was your purpose, that was your heart, that was your intention, that was your plan, that was it from the beginning, is to show us what to do so that we would realize we can't, didn't, won't, never will. So that you can then give us your love, unbelievable. That's so hard to believe, Lord God, that you, a holy God, would do that. What for? Why? There's no reason then. It's not reasonable. It's not just. It's not fair that you should be merciful to us sinners. Nevertheless, we find ourselves in that boat. We find ourselves exactly in that situation where we're loved unconditionally, for no reason at all that we can figure out. So we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' holy and wondrous name. Amen and amen. Well, let's have a shout. Woohoo! We woke up all the tired ones. All right, now let's look at 16:19. We could easily go on to chapter 17, but I've been meditating on the 19th verse to the end, which we hadn't covered yet. Now, I wasn't going to preach on it, but all during the week, the Lord kept telling me about this particular scripture. I've prepared for the other, but this is the one he said, no, do this one. So I'm going to do it. I'm not going to skip over it and just to move on and try to artificially finish the book of Luke. What you have to know, could you turn it down a little bit so I can yell? What you have to know is something I've taught a million times, and that is how God works. Here's God. G-O-D, God. Here's God, and the thing that you want to know about God is love. So, here's God, unconditional love. Unconditional love. So that's his first idea, even though he didn't reveal it. He did not reveal this for a ton of time. He let the world kind of go on under another idea. And he put into you and me. Here's you and me. Here's you and me. I'm gonna write here the beneficiary. All right. I'm gonna also put down chosen. And let's see what else I could put down. Beloved. This is you as God created you. And here's your situation that you're a smiley face, forgiven sinner. Forgiven sinner. Now you have to be a sinner for this to work. So now you can be, there's two kinds of sinner you can be. If you want to be a regular sinner, openly rotten, that's one kind of sinner. How many do I have here? Openly rotten. Oh, very good. Or you can be a sneakily type sinner. You can be a hypocritical, pretend like you're good when you're not, faking it type sinner. Those are the only two types you can be. So how many are religious sinners? You're judgmental of others, look down on others, despise others because they're worse than you are. How many are like that? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. I'm losing that group. I used to have a bigger group on that one. So that's what the Bible calls hypocrites. In other words, they're actually as wicked as everybody else, but they don't want to know that. Or they do know it, but they just pretend like it's not the case. But there's only sinners. It doesn't matter, because unless you're absolutely perfect, you're a sinner. Because sin is not just doing bad, it's not being perfect. How many know that you're not perfect? How many are aware of that, that you're not perfect? You're not exactly like Jesus in every way. Now, that was God's original intention. His original intention was that you would be perfect. Okay? And now, one of the ways you can achieve that is the way that we teach, is that you can be perfect because of faith. So faith perfect. You can't be perfect. So this is a faith group here. This is a faith-based organization. So we are faith-based because we have to believe that somebody else, this person over here, somebody else was perfect. So here's a perfect person over here, and they were good. They were very good, good example. And they in their goodness decided to be good, not for themselves. So they were good, perfectly good, not for self, but for another self, but for someone else, for you. Okay? So this person is going to give you all the blessing, but only if you're undeserving. Too undeserving. Or I'll just say wicked. Just wicked people. You have to be wicked. Too wicked people. Same thing as undeserving. You don't deserve God's love. You don't deserve it. Now, that word is an interesting word, because if you have a law, if you have a law, first part says love God with all your heart. The second part says love your neighbor as yourself. So kind of a vertical one up to God, horizontal to your neighbor. Here's the law of God. The law of God. Here's the law of God. So God creates this law just because maybe you didn't know he had one. So the law says, be perfect. Be holy as I am holy. Same way I'm holy, you be holy. You be exactly like me. Be God is love, you be loving. But perfectly loving. Be exactly like I am. So here's God. He's the King. He's the Lord. He's the what we'd call the benefactor. He's the benefactor. And he always gets his way. Not only is he benefactor, he's all powerful. He's all good. Bena means good, or you know, something blessing. He's not only powerful, he's wise. He's everything. He's everything you could want. He even calls himself a father and calls you his son. But you have to be a son by faith. So faith sons. You have to be a faith son. In other words, you have to be wicked in yourself, but believe that somebody else took the pain. So we'll put a little cross here. Somebody else took your pain and your punishment and your burden. He took the burden for you. So he lifted your burden. So you got a burden over here, and then all the blessing runs over to you. He because he was good, because he was perfect, he got all the blessing, but he didn't want it. So he took all the blessing, gave that to you, and took all your sin, all your burden, all your payment. So that was what the Father wanted. The Father always wanted Jesus to keep this law, to be perfect, that was Jesus, to be loving, that was Jesus, to keep the law of God, that was Jesus. But he didn't do it under the law, he did it willingly. So he was willingly burdened for you. In other words, I'm like, okay, God, I'll do it, but I don't want to, but I'll do it. I'll do it if I have to. No, Jesus actually wanted to take all your sin upon himself and let you go free. So how many know that is good news? That's good news. That means, I don't know, it's for me personally, this is my personal story. I was wicked, was nasty, was not good and loving, and I didn't even behave. Not only did I not, I wasn't like that myself. I was just selfish and nasty and so on. But I didn't even feel bad about it. I just deliberately, openly sinned. And I enjoyed it, too. I enjoyed it. I liked doing it. And I'd heard about God getting ticked off about that, but it didn't bother me. I didn't mind killing him. I didn't mind hurting him. So I never cared that God died for me and all that. I wasn't even appreciative. I just simply took it. I just said, well, okay, I'll take it. I'll take, you want to forgive me? Okay, I'll take it. So I was a big, happy guy, took all of his love. Yahoo! And so I worship God now. I'm one of his worshipers. And that apparently pleases him. And I'm just tickled pink that I was evil, didn't do what he said. I never did keep this law thing up here. I didn't do him. I didn't do others. I just took care of me. The one thing you weren't supposed to do, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I forgot the neighbor. I didn't care about the neighbor. And I didn't love God either. I didn't fear him. I didn't care. Now, if you fear him, you're a hypocrite. But if you don't fear him, which I didn't, I wasn't a hypocrite. I was a genuine sinner, genuine, honest-to-goodness sinner. So this is unconditional love. That would have to be mercy for, you can call that the gospel. Good news. Woohoo! Good news that the law and sin and death fell on this guy. I did the sin, he got the death. That I know that is so bad that I'm happy about that, but I am. I'm completely happy that I sinned. That was good. I know it wasn't good, but I did it anyway. And then he got the death. He took that for me. So Jesus bore my sins upon the tree, upon the cross. And I got all the good news. Jim, you get to go to heaven for free. Oh, wahoo, yahoo. So I'm free now, free man, free from the law. So the law can't touch me. So I'll put my hand up here. No, don't you dare try to get me under that law. No, no, I'm free. Free. Woohoo! You see what a cheater I am. I not only cheated by sinning all the time, but then when God offered me forgiveness, I cheated again and took it. And I didn't even pay for any of it. He paid. He did all the paying. He paid my debt. This guy paid everything for me. Paid my debt. Now, do I like Jesus for doing that? I have come to like him. At first, I didn't. I just took advantage of him. But after a while, I realized, hey, this guy really likes me. He's the first one. Never met anyone that liked me because I didn't hide myself too well. So I was an open sinner, and he loved me while I was yet a sinner. And I'd never met anybody like that. I had never met anybody like that. Most people wanted me to behave myself. Well, I didn't behave myself, and I didn't want to behave myself. Inside of me, outside of me, I didn't. So this, to me, was like good news. And it's exactly, apparently, God was really pleased with that a wicked sinner like me would accept his free gospel and let Jesus get it. So Jesus got my burden, I got his blessing, good trade. He was apparently very happy with that. Now, I would say most of you probably weren't as wicked as I was, nor as happy about being wicked as I was. I never felt guilty, as far as I know. As far as I know, never once in my life did I ever, and to this day I still don't. It's awful. So, I mean, that's really bad. Because I not only did it deliberately, I laughed at it. I saw it was great. You've changed your hair color. Hey, that's good. Praise God. Praise God. You did too? Man, praise God. Well, your shirt is the color of her hair, so. Now, what is beautiful about this, I know not everybody's happy about this message. In fact, most people are mad at this message. If I would just change this message, I could fill up these rows. But I'm not going to change it. I'm too happy about the fact that Jesus wants the likes of me in his kingdom. And he would turn heaven and earth upside down to get someone like me into the kingdom. I'm a complete loser. Once I get on the team, I've ruined the whole team. You know, it's like, Jesus, choose me. And he chooses me. And I've ruined his whole team. Isn't that amazing? Debbie, are you like that? Yeah, just a loser. Debbie and I, two losers. Two losers. I'm going to look around now. Barbara, you're not a loser, are you? Oh, praise God. I can't believe that. Are you really? How long did it take you? So, okay, well, this is a good row. This is a good row. If I got any more losers here? Yeah? He's one? No. He's like me, aren't you? You wanted to grow up to be like me, didn't you? You did. It's sad. It's pathetic. But you know what? You see, God loves people and he's not choosy. Obviously, he's not a respecter of persons. Obviously, he's not very, you know, selective. In fact, he's silly. He's very Texan because he goes like this. Y'all come. See, he's just like, whosoever will, anybody that wants to, come on in. We're having barbecue. Whatever. Jesus is just, he doesn't care who comes. It's like, Jesus, don't open it up like that. You could get sinners. See, most churches are very selective. They don't want just riffraff coming in. And we got riffraff. We do. Now, you know who you are. Go ahead. If you want, you can just raise your hand. We got riffraff in here. We just aren't choosy. We don't choose. Now, here's the good news. The good news is that God only came for sinners. He won't even let you in unless you are a rotten sinner. Now, you could be a hypocrite. because he'll let those in too, as long as you admit you're a hypocrite. A lot of hypocrites won't admit that they're hypocrites. In other words, secretly I wanted to sin, but I just didn't let myself, and so I was miserable. That is, I was pretending. You see, because when you're a liar like that, you don't even know what the truth is. How many know that you can even lie to yourself? That's called repression. Suppression's when I know I hated you, but I just didn't let it come out. Expression's when you let it come out. That was me. Suppression is when I made a decision not to let it come out because you might get your stuff out. That's a problem. If you express, the other person might react to that and express. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be really fast. You have to be really quick. You have to be witty. You have to be very clever. When you are wicked like that, you have to know how to duck quick because that other person can come right back at you. Peggy's like that. She's fast. She doesn't look fast, but she's fast. I can criticize her, and in 1 second, not even a nanosecond, I think it's more than that. It's so fast, without a thought, she can not only defend herself, but attack me all in one breath. It's incredible. She's fast. I've told her 100 times, 1,000 probably. Peg, I marvel that you only think of you. I was trying to make a fact. I wasn't even criticizing you. I was just making a fact. I was just stating the obvious, that you're wicked. And she did not even receive that, but immediately attacked back. Isn't that amazing? Is that not amazing? Is anyone amazed? You know, because I'm a pastor. That is, I have the office of pastor, right? But you will not find almost any pastors like myself who week after week, year after year, say the same thing. Always tell how wicked I am. And I add, you are too. But realizing there are hypocrites and liars who don't want that known, I choose to talk about Peggy and me. But it'd be much more fun if I talk about you. But then I'd lose more members. I'd lose more members. I've lost all of these because I talked about Peggy. That's why these people laugh. I hate the way you put your wife down, really. You would be nicer. But I don't want to talk about me all the time, so I get to talk about Peggy. That's part of the blessing of being married to me. But it's all right, because I do the same thing at home. So it's okay. All right. Now, the surprise is that many people, not in this room, thank God, many people do not want their sins known. They don't. They do not want to admit. In fact, they're still pretending like even if they weren't righteous, they wanted to be. That's called liar. No, I wanted to be a good Christian. Really? Really? That's interesting. How you doing on that? Well, you know, because maybe you misunderstand. Maybe you can't read. Maybe you can't read. Be perfect. Exactly like Jesus. I don't know. That's too high for me. That just has never appealed to me. You know, it's just like when I hear that, I go, no contest. It's over. Forget it. I'm not even starting. I'm not going to go there. Is anyone else like me? Just the easy, I'm an easy surrenderer. Peggy's got long, I don't know if it's woman or what, but she can hold out a long time. She's much longer. I'm quick. I just immediately, like if we're doing, you know, like I'm driving here, of course, because I was going to be late, I drove a little bit fast. And I don't have a button on the hood of, on the, you know, the whatever you call the front of the car thing there. I wish I had a little button, though, that I could, when people are going slow and I want to go fast, and they're only 10 miles over, but I want to go 20 or 25, I want a little button there that says, boom, get out of my way, you know. And I'm like in a race car. I'm not a Christian when I'm going from Dallas to Fort Worth. I'm like in a race car. And they're just violence comes out of me when somebody kind of pulls over into my lane. It's like, get out of my lane, you crazy person. God bless you. Because I forget that I'm a pastor still. That's bad. That's evil. It's not my worst sin, but it's one of mine. It's one of my persistent ones. Is anybody else bad as I am? Oh, praise God. No. I mean, the shortest distance, y'all. So, all right, now, I know that's wrong and that's evil and that's bad. And I'm not saying I should keep it up. I shouldn't. I should stop it. But I just don't trust God in that area. If I drive the speed limit, I'm not going to get there on time. Then people will hate me more than they hate me even now. So I go ahead and justify that sin. Does anybody else do that? You justify sin? You know, in other words, that's another way of saying I've got an explanation. I can start saying words. Whenever you're guilty, one of the things you can do is just start talking. That is a sure sign that you're wanting to pretend like you're not. And, you know, it's kind of like settles people down. All right, now, Jesus came along. This is all going to relate to a scripture in a minute. Jesus loves me, okay? So me is that happy person right there. And here's why they killed him. The reason they killed him was because he said there was no difference between a wicked open sinner and a hypocritical, religious, moral, nice person. That's why they killed him. Because he said they were exactly the same. So whoever this is could be a woman. See, not me at all. It's actually you. I'll put a little bow here. Actually could be you. Could be you. Now, so whoever that is, Jesus says they're all the same. And for that reason, the good people, pretending, religious, hypocritical, moral, innocent, pure, in their own eyes people, killed him. So Jesus died on the cross so that you could get the gospel. And then he sent the Holy Spirit. So here we could draw a picture of the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit, and this Holy Spirit is replacing him as the successor trustee. Because one thing about a trust, especially when God is the trustor, you can never defeat it. This trust, truth, this truth, this trust, is indefeasible. It cannot be defeated. Because if it were, this beneficiary would be destroyed. And that's one thing God won't allow. So even if he has to have this guy removed or killed, he wants this love to go here, and therefore he'll provide a successor. So here's the successor. Remember when the Holy Spirit took over, he said, Jesus said about him before he died, he will take what is mine, whatever belongs to me, all my blessings, and give it to you. He will declare that to you. In other words, everything that I earn by dying, because that's what I have to do to love you and to be faithful to God, I have to, under the law, sin, which you did, requires death, which I take. Therefore, everything I have now for taking that and pleasing the Father by doing that so that you could be blessed, everything, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So Jesus never lived for himself, and so the Holy Spirit never lives for himself. That's love. When you live under God, who is love, here's God, a loving Father. God who is love, loving Father. God who is love, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, here I am, a sinner, forgiven by God, if I believe, and I do. I believe that. I really believe this, that God loved me so much, though I was so worthless, so bad, so wicked, so nasty, so shallow, so boring, even so, I was praying about that this morning. I'm old. And I used to say I'm getting older, but now I'm old. But I think about this. What have you done in your life? What have you accomplished? And then I think, well, I believe I've blessed a few people. Good. And then I really think about it. And I think about this. I think, I have driven off so many congregations. I think about that. I just think about that. I think we're on number 8. Whole congregations. And there's only a couple of people. I think David Halverson's one of them. There's only a couple of people that have stuck with it all the way. Are there any others here that I've had since the time I was a Lutheran? Monica. Yeah, Monica. I still have not driven her off. Ah, yeah. Yeah. See, I got some old hanger on. That's good. When your kids were, now they're that age, and you were once that age, yeah, that was a long time ago. Oh. Anyway, I think about that. I mean, honestly to God, honestly, openly. God, I don't know. I have known so much, and I have done so little. I really have an incredible, I'm not boasting. This is a fact. I have an incredible understanding of the gospel. And I've done so little with it. I have done so little with it. I just wasted and frittered away my life. Are there any other co-fritterers? Co-fritterers. It's not like you didn't know what was right. You just didn't do it. You just never lived up to your potential. Is there any other co-fritterers? Hey, praise God. I love that. And you can look back over your long life and realize that's a failure. Right there. That is a typical failure. Anybody else? Now, some of you could boast of a lot better. Like, here's a boast you could make. Thank God I'm not like Pastor Jim. I'm serious. That would be that would give you a little stature when you get to heaven. That could actually be a standard. below, you know. And so I feel like you are blessed to have me as a pastor. I really do. It's funny. But I feel like I was called by God precisely because I never thought I was any good. I've never been good. And I've never done one good thing. That's the truth. Peggy, who's been married to me for 50 years, I don't know, 45. But we've known each other for 50. For 50 years. That's older than I am. You know, that is old. And by the way, Peggy's older than I am. Has anybody noticed that? Anybody notice that? That's why I drove off these groups here. They didn't like me picking on her. Well, you know. Anyway, I thought it even if I didn't say it. So I'm happy that she's older because women tend to live longer than men. They do. Did you know that? So it's good to marry an older woman so we can die about the same time. However, it's only 5 days. she might outdo me. But you know, it's a sad thing when you look back at your life and you realize you didn't accomplish that much. I didn't accomplish anything like I thought would be the case. Once you get a hold of this gospel, you know, you feel, man, this will bless people. People will flock in. They'll flock in. And some of the people in this church who have been blessed, they'll tell others. It didn't happen. We've actually gone down. That is sad. But you know what? Here's the worst thing. I don't even care. That is the worst thing. That is sad. I'm actually so, this is the truth, this is God's truth. I'm actually so happy that Jesus loves me as a loser. I'm so happy about that I don't care that other people don't appreciate or do appreciate, but until I'm dead, they're not going to say anything. You know, like when people die, they usually then come up with, Oh, I meant to call you. It really is. I'm. Oh gosh, I wish that person hadn't died because I was gonna say something. So did anybody want to say something before I keel over? Pastor Jim, you really were a wonderful pastor, faithful and true. It would be true. But anyway, that's okay. Now, the best is yet to come. But here's the good news. Unless you are bad, wicked, nasty, wretched, which I always emphasize, you cannot know the good news. Let's say you're not as bad as me. Let's just imagine it. Then you won't appreciate what Jesus went through for you. But let's say you are as bad as me. I'm telling you something. She that hath been forgiven much loveth much. Isn't that amazing? You loveth much. You say, well, Pastor Jim, what have you done in that category? I wish you hadn't brought that up. Okay. All right. I have not done that. But I'm going to tell you something else. It's another little secret I learned. I got this secret out of the Bible. I don't have to be a lover. Jesus Christ is in me, and he works through me, and me is not me. But Christ in me is me. And so Christ gets all the glory for that. And so I probably did help somebody, and I just didn't know it. See, and I'll probably get credit for something, and I wasn't even aware of it. Isn't that amazing? It is awesome. And you know what? Another thing. My tapes go all over the world, and people don't know me at all. They're not even close to me. And when they read them, they listen to those tapes, they like them. That is so funny. I might get credit. And I didn't even do anything but preached it here to you, who didn't even appreciate it, and they got all the blessing out of it. And they thought in another country, that is wonderful preaching. You know, sometimes things happen like that. And maybe in heaven I'll be famous. Oh, here he comes. But of course, a prophet is not, you know, you don't have any honor in your own country. So there you have it. I am so happy. You know what? Because of Jesus' love to me, I am so incredibly happy that I don't mind that no one has ever thanked me or appreciated me, or they have, but they lied. I don't even mind that. I don't even mind that. Are you as happy as I am? I am truly, incredibly, even when I'm sleeping at night, happy. If you wake me up. Now, if you wake me up quickly like that, I'll go like that. But if you wake me up kind of slowly, Peggy can frighten me sometimes. She'll just walk in on me like that. I'll go like that. Is anybody else like that? You know, what did I do? Yes. I'm not expecting anybody at 4 in the morning when I'm up, you know, doing something. She'll just open the door or something. So, anyway, but other than that, I'm a happy person. Now, here, listen to this story. Here's a really neat story about all of this. Now, I'll close. There once was a really rich, rich man. How many know Jesus loves these stories? And he says it like this. There was a certain rich man, means there was somebody actually he knew. There was a certain rich man who was so rich that he wore purple and fine linen. Now that's rich. I mean, that is rich. And not only that, he ate sumptuously. Imagine the guy weighed 300 pounds. I just picture him with a big purple 300-pound robe and fine linens. You know, just sitting there loving it and, you know, drinking wine and so on. I just picture this guy. And he was so rich. Not only that, he was Jewish. I love these Jewish stories. Don't you love them? They're great. These are great. And so Jesus was saying, this guy was happy with himself. He was so pleased with himself. Euphrino in the Greek. It means, you means good, and phrino means mind. He was pleased in his own mind. Just to himself, he was thinking, I'm not a loser like Jim Borchert. He was thinking, I have made it. I've got it made. I'm rich as can be. I'm not like poor people who care about bread. You know, poor people, that's all they care about is, do I have enough to pay the bills and eat? I'm not just a survivor. Not only, I'm not like middle class people either, who are into insurance and security, you know, trying to keep what little they have and try to get a little bit more if they can. So they're big into insurance in case something goes wrong and so on. So you can't sell insurance to poor people because they don't have any money. They're just barely paying the bills. And so they're into food. They're into, do I have enough to eat? Can I even feed myself? Well, middle class people are not worried about that. They got food. But they may have disposable income, and they're trying then to use that to protect themselves. And so they're into security, not into freedom. But the rich, they don't care about food. They don't care about security. They got it made. They got it made because they have so much, they don't have to even think about that stuff. Well, this guy was just sitting there, fat as can be, happy. He was totally happy with himself. By God, I've made it. And you see, he gave God the glory. By God, I've made it. And he was a, you know, just a happy guy. But here's the sad part that Jesus introduces here. There was another man, poor, a certain man. In fact, his name was Lazarus. The guy even has a name. Jesus tells his name. So everybody knew right away, if they knew Lazarus, who the rich guy was. And this guy was having been laid. In other words, he didn't do it himself. He was not only poor, but he was crippled. So they had to lay him there. Not only that, if you've ever had to lay somewhere, you know, and you can't get up and move, you get sores all over you. Well, this guy was full of sores. So he's not only poor, he's not only naked, I'm sure he doesn't have nice clothes like purple and fine linen, but he doesn't even eat, he's starving, and he's got all these sores all over him. Not only that, even worse. The guy was looking at the rich man, and he could see him through the window because he's out at the gate. He's just laid there by the gate so the rich man will see him when he goes out. Oh, the poor man. And then give him a nickel or something. And it said he was desiring, epithumo. He was wishing that even he could eat the crumbs that fell off this rich man's table. Wouldn't that be something? You know, if this guy would, don't even give me any food. Please, just give me a crumb. Just keep me alive. But the rich man, he knew he was there, because later you'll find out in the story that this rich man knew all about this poor guy, because they laid him right there in the gate. I mean, there are poor people in our faces all the time on television or when you go somewhere, or even here in Fort Worth. There are people that live horribly. Has anybody noticed? Now, if you live in the suburbs, you don't have to see them. You don't have to. But every once in a while, they come downtown, and that's awful. They stink. They do. And they're not only poor, they're sickly. You can look down on them. Easy. And they got good stories, though. Hey, could you give me $7.37? Yeah, I love that. It's very exact. They used to just say, could you, you know. But now they got it honed down. You got to say something very specific so it sounds real. And then you say, well, what are you going to use this for? Booze or cigarettes or something? No. My aunt, Lucy, who lives in Houston, she needs me to come right now, and I don't have any way to get there. Could you just give me $7? That's all I'm lacking, $7.37. Whatever. I mean, they've gone up a little in their prices because of gas. But basically, it's still the same. And they got these stories, and the only problem is sometimes they'll tell a different story to one of the church members, and before I'll give them out of my pocket, you know, the 20 or whatever, because usually I don't have, I said, do you have change? They don't have change. And, you know, with prices today, you know, you're spending money like fish, you know, but anyway. They'll say, it was my sister. I'll go, you just said it was your aunt. Oh, no, yeah, it's my, no, you know, so you catch them. Are you like that? I mean, there's something in me that doesn't want to do that. I don't want to keep giving, subsidizing their sin. Because I can see the cigarettes in their pocket. You know what I mean? You're not going to spend this on cigarettes. No, sir. They just lie. They're hypocrites because they're lying. Anyway, And so, anyway, so I'll just have to admit, there are times that I'm like that rich guy. I don't want to see that person. Sometimes, you know, you can see them coming and you just keep looking at your car door and trying to get in real fast so you don't see them. Hey, pastor! You know, I'm pretending like I don't hear them. Anybody do that? Does anybody do that? It's awful because I'm a pastor and a Christian. Anyway, I don't always like to give to people like that because you have a standard. Does this person deserve this? Will this only hurt them? Isn't this the same person that was here last week? I thought they were in Houston. How'd they get back? On and on and on. So what I'm saying is it's easy to neglect the poor and the needy and the wretched and the, you know, miserable. And in this church, we even have people that are obnoxious. You know what I mean? I mean, they're not poor, but they're just obnoxious. And they just call you all the time with a problem and want you to solve it. How many know that? That's a turnoff. That's not good. And fortunately, they have these little machines you can buy now, and they have their name on it when you go pick up the phone. Ooh. And so I've tried to memorize most of your names so I can look on that little box because it'll give me a thing. And Peggy and I both would conspire together now on this. She's learning to be a sinner. She used to call up, you know, when anybody call up and say, Pastor Jim there, just a minute. And I said, no, don't say that. When they call, just say, I'll see if he's in. And then I thought, no, he's not here now, but she didn't want to lie. But I've taught her now, go ahead, lie, just lie. So she's protecting me, covering me. But a lot of times, what I'm trying to say is, I may not be as mature as a pastor should be. Anybody understand that? So that's evil. Well, this rich man was like that. So I can kind of identify with him of, look, I would care, but right now I'm so busy, I don't have time to. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I wanted to care. And in my better moments, I would have. Well, so Jesus tells this story about this rich man and the poor man laying right outside his door. And the rich man sees him, but doesn't want to look at him closely or take care of him. It just wants to keep everything for himself. You know you can't be too generous. Because you cannot trust that God, who lets you get those riches, will supply if you foolishly give them all away. Right? You know, so you got to watch. You got to be budgeted like that. But this rich man did it. He could have done it. But here was his thought. I would give to this guy because I know it's part of the law. I know that when you're a rich man, you are a steward. You are not an owner. You all know that, don't you? When God blesses you, you're not an owner. That's not yours. You hold that for somebody else in trust. You all know that. Do you all know that? Do you all know that? So, I mean, if God happens to give you more than the poor, more than the middle class, and you're, you know, well off, I mean, it's kind of a curse because everybody and their brother is going to be after you trying to get something because they remember the law. When God increases your blessings, don't forget the poor and the needy. Wow. There it is. Well, this rich man was Jewish. He knew the law. And he knew you should be merciful when God has blessed you. I mean, you can't bless somebody if you don't have anything. But what if you're not just this recipient person down here in the bottom, a loser? What if you're someone successful? Well, then, if you have more than the person that's there, you could share a little bit with them. Some people are like that. Did you know that train wreck yesterday, or whenever it was? Maybe it was it Saturday? I don't know what day. I don't know what days are. But I remember they asked this guy, when you were there at the time of the wreck, you happened to be right there, did you notice anybody helping one another? And his answer was, everybody that we saw, even if they were injured, were helping somebody else. Everybody was showing care for other people that were in trouble. Isn't that amazing? You know, there's something interesting about American people. I think because of Christianity, there's a kind of a generosity and a kind of a, you know, I should take care of other people too, spirit. We learned that from the Jewish people because they had that in their law. Is when a stranger comes in, when a poor person comes in, if something goes wrong, you who are have something, give it to them. You have knowledge, share. If you have a gift, freely you have received, freely give. I mean, you know, that's part of our code. That's part of our religion. And so I know that, and I have to confess to you, I haven't always been generous. I have sometimes been like you. I have to confess that. So, you know, but I thank God that there are other people in this church exactly like me. I think I'm typical. I think I am typical. Well, maybe not typical, but I feel like some of you aren't that far from where I am. Now, this rich man ignored, looked past, didn't care, showed no mercy. And the dogs that this rich man had, he had beautiful dogs, I'm sure, they went out and saw the poor man. The man's dogs went out and saw him, and they licked his sores. He was just like pus was coming out or something. I don't know what. But licking the guy's sores. Dogs will do that. They're dumb. How many know dogs will do that? Just like, they don't care that you're poor. They don't even think about that. They just think, ooh, look at this. And they'll just start, you know, licking on the old sore like that. And so, I don't know why Jesus mentioned that, but I thought it was interesting. As that's what dogs do like that. When you see some poor guy smelling and stinking like that, they come out and get it. So this guy knew that they were out there because he could tell, hey, get the dogs away from that guy. The guy died. Jesus goes right into it. And it came to pass, the man died, and what happened? The angels carried him away because he was crippled. Carried him away, now he's dead. Carried him away to Abraham's bosom. So immediately the angels pick this guy up and carry him away to Abraham's bosom because he couldn't afford a funeral. So they carried him. Abraham, here's one of your guys. So Abraham took him in. I love Abraham. This story is all about Abraham. Why didn't he take him to Moses' bosom? You ever thought about that? Why not go to Moses' bosom? I mean, after all, Moses gave God's law. Why does he take him to Abraham's bosom? Abraham, take this guy. Now the other guy went to Moses' bosom. Because it said, and the sentence wasn't even finished, the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. The other guy died, and he lifted up his eyes from hell. He had a fine funeral, and as soon as he hit the ground, he found himself in hell, and it was hot down there. The fire was burning down there. Apparently, there's a big fire down there. And it's for people that have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this rich guy found himself happy with himself in life, and now suffering and in misery after death. Whereas this poor man was miserable in life, but happy as can be in Abraham's bosom. Isn't that interesting? You see the difference between these two guys? This one guy thought of himself, well, let's hear the story because it's so good. So the guy, when he's down there in hell, and the fire's so hot, his tongue starts burning. It's hot. It's hot as hell. No, it is hell. It's hell. It's awful. And that's what happens when you don't show any mercy. That's where you go. That was kind of an unintended consequence of that guy's getting rich like that, not being a good steward, and not showing any kindness to him. Oh, I forgot to tell you how trusts work. I forgot to tell you. Here's how they work. A law is never for this guy over here, because that's a burden. The law should burden this guy down here. So Jesus took the burden, you get the blessing. So here's the blessing going out like this. Here's the blessing. So blessing goes, the law doesn't go to this person here who's the third party. This one, that person's free. They get all the blessing of the trust, but none of the burden of the trust. And this guy who volunteered for the job and said, I'll be the trustee. And this one appointed that one, okay, you go in my name. Don't go in your own name. Go in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So Jesus came and was killed. How many know that when you love somebody, you always end up hurt. Has anybody tried that? You ever tried to love somebody and you end up getting hurt? And then you tried again and you got hurt again. That is dumb. That shows how dumb. That is a kind of like a sign of how dumb you are. Because, you know, if you love somebody and you get hurt, quit. Harden yourself. Just get hard. I'm not going to love again. That is smart. How many know that's smart? But dumb is, I think I'll try again. And you just keep getting hurt over and over again. And then you say, what's wrong? You're naive. You're trusting people. Oh, aren't you supposed to? Remember the Bible? Put not your trust in man, put your trust in the Lord. Has anybody learned that trick? Don't trust husband. I'm not going to make you say it, but you should say this. I'm never going to trust a man again. I wish all the women would just say that. I will never trust a man. Unless it be Pastor Jim. Now, Pastor Jim, he's no. Don't trust anybody. Put not your trust in princes. Put your trust in the Lord, right? You all got that down? But you should love people you don't trust. You have to love people you don't trust. So if you could find somebody out there that you couldn't trust, which is everybody, then you can love everybody. You see, your problem is you think, I can love this person because they're trustworthy. Or, I'm trustworthy. That's silly. You're not trustworthy, and neither is anybody else. You're in a world of untrustworthies. Has anybody kind of got that clue? You're not trustworthy either. You can't be a trustee because you're not trustworthy. You're not worthy of a trust. So this person over here, their best deal is don't trust in anybody, even the trustee. Don't trust in the trustee unless that person comes in the name of the Lord. Now that's different because the one you can trust is the Father. And usually a father who's smart does not get a lawyer to do his trust. I mean, I know most trusts are done by lawyers. Bad decision. That's a bad decision. A smart trustor would ask his own son, someone intimate and close to him, son, if I die, you take care of mom, you take care of, you know, the kids, you take care of the grandkids, you know, whatever. And a smart, you get somebody intimate because if a bank does it, or if a lawyer does it, they might have their own self-interest. And they might find ways of getting more than 1% or 0.5% or 5% or something. They might try to get the blessing for themselves. Bad trustee. But if it was the son of the father. So God looked down on the earth and he said, you know what? Adam was not a good trustee. He didn't bless his kids. He didn't die for them. He didn't give up his life for them. And all of his kids are the same. And so God said to Jesus, Jesus, none of the people are doing right. They're all doing wrong, and I've flooded them out. Now I'm about to burn them up before I do that one. Because I don't think I have anybody left. How many know that we don't go through fire real well? And we're not good in flood outs. We're just not into suffering a lot. How many know that we're not into suffering a lot? And that's one of the things, to be a trustee, you have to go through all the resistance and hell that might come to that beneficiary and take it for them. You know, run interference, get in the way. Don't kill them, kill me. That's what Jesus said. Hey, Jim is worthy of death. Don't kill him, kill me instead. Oh, Jesus was great. Good job, Jesus. Keep it up. I'm going to bed. And so Jesus never slumbers or sleeps. I love that about him. Jesus, I'm going to bed. How about you? I got to go to China tonight. And so when I'm sleeping, he's over in China helping out. That's not true. Those Chinese people, they don't deserve it. No. Jesus stays right here in Fort Worth, Texas. Unless I'm in China. I'm taking him with me then. No, Jesus can be everywhere at once because he loves the whole world. This crazy guy. I can't love like that. I don't have that big a heart. I'm not trustworthy. And I'd say most of you aren't either. Are most of you true, good Christian, genuine Christians? Bob, I know he's not, but I was thinking of some of the better people here. Is anybody better than Bob? You're more trustworthy. How many are trustworthy? Pastor, just trust me. Hey, praise God. Thank you. Any more liars? Any more liars? You see what? You're not able to bear a trust. When God says be perfect, you got to be perfect. Because he can tell you to do anything or not to do anything, and you have to do exactly what he says. You don't have a mind of your own. You don't have a will of your own. You don't have emotions of your own. You don't get to be sad when you're sad. You have to be happy when you're sad. That's one of the things about Jesus. He makes you happy all the time. Jesus, Jim, no sad. Stop that. Jim, put that tongue, mouth. You know. And Jesus won't let you be sad at all. I did that on my family. I didn't want my family to ever be sad. If they were, I spanked them. You're not going to be sad in this house. You're going to be a Christian happy. So I had four hypocrite kids. I raised four hypocrite kids. You will smile because they didn't want to do it. I'd say, I want you to, you know, I want you to not be mad at your sister. I want you to say, I love you. Don't want to. Well, you do it, I'll spank you. I love you. Yeah, but do it with more look like you mean it. Love you. No. What dad will do it. I love you so much. See how dad did it? I can't do that, dad. You do it, I'll spank you. Okay. I love you so much. And these kids are, it's hard for kids to be hypocrites like that. You see what I'm saying? Because they know I'm going to spank them. I'm going to beat them to a pulp if they're not happy. I wish I could do that in the church. I do. I wish I could. If I could just have hypocrites. If we could just get hypocrites out of the church. Now, this rich man is in hell. The fire is burning. And here's what happens. He looks up suddenly because the fire's hot and he's really not having any comfort at all. He's not happy with himself right now. And he thinks to himself, you know, I probably screwed up. I probably messed up. Maybe I should have been kinder. I think I should have. I feel like I did a good job. God bless me. I felt good about myself. But, of course, I didn't take care of that one poor guy. I should have. So he looks up and he sees Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And he's far away off and he says, Father Abraham! And Father Abraham, you know, here's that, and he's got Lazarus in his bosom. Oh, it's your rich man guy. Yes, my beloved son? Technon, he calls him. My tender little son. Yes? What is it? And the guy says, have mercy upon me. Now, here's a guy that never showed mercy. Now, all of a sudden, it's interesting to him. When you see, I want mercy for me and justice for everybody else. But here's the deal. This guy who was rich and had it made in the world comfortable, he got hell in the next world. And that guy who lived like hell here got heaven. It didn't seem right. So he says to him, Father Abraham, could you show a little mercy? Send Lazarus down here. I've always told him what to do. Just have him come down here and dip his tip of his finger in the water and touch my tongue. It's hot down here. So Abraham says to him, oh, my dear son, remember, in this world, you had all good things and he had all bad. And now you have suffering and he has blessing. What a neat thing to tell the guy, because he probably didn't remember that. So he's recalling that now. Oh, yeah. But he had a different agenda. So he said to Abraham, yeah, I know that. But here's the deal right now. Right now, I need mercy. Remember when this guy was asking you and he wanted it and you didn't give it to him? Well, I know, but right now, I'm into mercy now. I'm into it. And it's kind of like he's thinking to himself, I was going to do it. It's just that I died just before, I mean, that guy, I was thinking about it. I even told my wife, you can ask her. I was gonna do something kind to him that very week. Because my dog's tongues were getting rough from all that. And so I was thinking, you know, maybe I need to do something for the dogs at least. I was going to do something. All right. So here's the deal. He says, God, show mercy to me. Now, see, God's into mercy. I mean, it's one thing. If I were God, I would have said, okay, I'll tell you what. You're a rotten, no good person, even though you were a hypocrite and a liar about that. But I tell you what. I'm going to show mercy to you. Lazarus, go down there and dip your finger in. You know, so on. The guy wasn't saying, give me my riches back. The guy wasn't saying, get me out of this hell place. He was just saying, could you make it a little easier? Isn't that neat? He wasn't saying, I don't deserve this. He knew the law. He knew the law. He was saying, okay. And I'd have let a guy like that go. But here's a problem. Here's a problem. When you're dead, that mercy thing, it doesn't last any longer. It's only during life. How many know that? It's only during life. So, Abraham tells him, oh, he said, here's the problem. There's a great chasm between us, a Grand Canyon type chasm, and none of us can get to you. We want to show mercy to you, and none of you can get here. That's a problem. That's the way it is. God has fixed it. It's been fixed. I don't have anything on it. I can't do anything about it. So the guy is going, okay, but at least, I'm begging you now to think about this. Now, this is a religious guy. At least, couldn't you go to my father's house? He's not dead yet like I am. I mean, okay, there's no hope for me. But look at this little kindness I'm showing here. Go and tell my five brothers what a hellhole this is. And they better start thinking about the future too. And here's what Abraham says. No, because they have Moses and the prophets. That's all you need. You see, the natural man doesn't have Moses and the prophets. The natural man, not Jewish, the natural man just has reason and conscience. He knows right and wrong too, because he's got reason and he's got conscience. You see a sick man, help him. You got plenty of food, give him. So that's just natural. And your conscience knows, there's something wrong. What if I was in that condition? And this guy's in hell now, and he's thinking about that with his natural conscience. Yeah. And then he remembers, I had Moses, and I had the prophets. And they were telling about a Messiah somewhere. But you know what Abraham is saying? You only had a short-term view of life. You didn't have a long-term view. You weren't thinking about heaven. You were only thinking about sumptuousness on earth. You were a lover of money. You loved all your riches and your stuff. You didn't care one whit about the kingdom of God. And you know, I told you under the law. You had the law. You had Moses. You had the prophets. I told you that God wanted you to care for your neighbor over here. Just show mercy to him. Not just the law thing of don't injure your neighbor, but actually love them. Especially when I bless you with something. You're a steward now. You're not an owner. You don't control it. You don't benefit by it. You own that, and you ask God, God, what kind of title do I have? Because you own everything. How many know the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? Everything on the earth, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. Everything you have, your tie, your time, your talent, your treasures, everything you have, it all belongs to God. Your spirit, your soul, your body, everything belongs to God. And God has a whole earth rebelling from him, not giving him anything back, keeping it all to themselves as though they were God. They were the owners. They were the controllers. They were the beneficiaries. So he said, you know, you have Moses. You should have listened. If you didn't listen to reason and conscience, you should have at least listened to Moses, who said, be ye perfect. In other words, listen carefully now. What he was saying was, you cannot go to heaven, not because there isn't mercy, but because, and not because you refuse to show mercy. He would have forgiven that. Why? Because people that think they're innocent don't go to heaven. They're not worshipers of the true God, but only people that know they're guilty. But during your life, You knew through reason and conscience. You knew through the law of Moses and the prophets. You knew they said it a billion times, be perfect, and you weren't, and you never once showed mercy. Never. You didn't care about anybody but yourself. And that's why you chose that. And now it's too late. We can't fix this chasm that's between us. You can't come over and we can't get there. Because you, during your lifetime, never took advantage of that. Now you're fixed. How many know there's unintended consequences to a lot of stuff you do? Unintended. I didn't intend that. No, I wasn't thinking that. Well, I know, but that's the way you viewed it. You made those choices. That guy was out there. The dogs knew he was there. You knew he was there. You even know his name. You even called on him right now. But you didn't show any mercy. Oh, that's depressing. Is this not a depressing message? It's terrible. But here's the beauty. Here's the beauty of that. All have sinned. Not only that guy, but even Lazarus. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But pure worship does not come forth. Here's what he should have said. Here, if I'd have been that rich guy, here's what I'd have said. Abraham, okay, I'm getting what I deserved. No question. I deserve this because I took care of myself. I never showed any mercy to him. I tried to be an owner, trying to pretend like I knew what I was doing, controlling my own life. I didn't want to die. I hated suffering. And now here I am paying for it. Okay, I admit all that. I admit all that. But now I realize there's only one issue in life and I neglected it. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm taking a new view on things. That's not what he said. Here's what he said. Listen carefully. What he said was, I am innocent down here. It's hot as hell. And it's not fair. And I believe what I want from you is not mercy. What I want from you is power. In other words, I'm asking for mercy, but what I'm really asking for is power. Send Lazarus down here. Okay, if you won't do that, send him to my brothers. Okay, if you won't do that. Because here's how Abraham answered. Wait a minute. Even if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, what makes you think they would listen to someone who rose from the dead? Why did Jesus rise from the dead? Because as a trustee, you cannot defeat the Father's intention. You cannot defeat what the Father intends. Here's number one. He reveals in number two what he wants. I want mankind to be perfect. Then he realizes that's not going to work. So plan B, okay, then I'll just show mercy. And I won't make them perfect, but I'll make this guy perfect. I'll send my own son down there. He will be perfect for them. Then in them, then through them, he will then bring them to be just like me. Then they will complete the law. I'll write the law in their hearts. I'll send them through the fire. I'll send them through punishment. And a lot of people don't want to be punished in this world. A lot of people don't want to suffer in this world. A lot of people don't want to identify with people who are suffering because then you'll suffer with them. If you identify with the Jewish people, you're going to suffer with them. If you want to identify with poor people and so on and so forth, you'll get hurt. You'll lose something. You won't have all your purple and fine linens and everything. You'll lose that. But if you want to follow God, that's what Jesus did. He gave up everything. No purple, no fine linens, no nothing. For the sake of this person right here, this is the heart of God, is to bless not God, but the neighbor, this ugly, loser, worthless neighbor. That is amazing. That is something flesh can't do. And the only reason flesh would ever think about that is if flesh was here. So what Jesus is saying is, through this little story he's telling, if you realize this is who you are and that you're not a good trustee because you only care about yourself, but sit here, I wrote three twice. That's funny. All right, four. If you can't be a four, be a five. Be a five. Okay. And then if you're a good believer, five, because you took the gift cheaply, freely. Then you can go through the hellfire of, you know, discipleship. I don't know why. A lot of people in this church don't want to go through this part, this suffering, because there's only one way to be like Christ, and that's death. I'll write that there. Death to the self. Death, not physical death. Not physical death, just giving up your will, giving up your emotions, giving up your dreams, giving up your pleasures, giving up your purple and your linen and everything. Just give it all up and live the way God wants you to live. Do what He wants you to do. And then just live for others. Woohoo! If you lose your life, you'll find it. If you lose your life, you'll find it. If you keep your life, you lose it. So that guy kept his life, so he was out. But here, who's going to make me? First of all, I don't mind this right here. I'm a loser. God loves me. I don't mind that. Oh, but the rich man didn't want to be a loser. He did mind that. There's one thing he was grateful for. Thank God I'm not like this person right here. But that is you. That's just you pretending like that's not you by doing whatever you have to do to not be that. But that isn't me. I wanted you to be here so I could show mercy to you. Then I could take you through the suffering and death, and then I could make you just like me. But if you are not, you can't minister in love if you haven't gone through the suffering. You learn obedience through what you suffer. And that means there's no longer you. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And then this is Christ living in me. And as I'm not in my own name, I'm in His name, which is in the Father's name. And therefore, I'm doing, as a trustee, not my own will. I'm not doing my own thing. I'm not doing my own account. I forget myself. Why? Because I have a loving Father. And so Jesus wasn't scared of dying because He knew He had a loving Father who would raise Him from the dead. He just did the will of the Father, even if it cost Him. So go through the hell. First of all, be here. Now, if you're not ready for the fire, let's say you don't want to be discipled yet. You don't want to grow up yet. You don't want to be dead to yourself. You still want to live. Okay, that's fine. Stay right there. But don't think you're good. Know that you're a rotten, no good person that God loves, and therefore be happy. Oh, I don't know if you're getting this. You see, I want to be here as a proud Christian. Oh, no. You haven't even gone through the real Christian thing yet. This is just right here. That's just the beginning. Right here is how you begin. And then you want to grow up as a little child. Then you want to grow up to be a young man. Then you want to be a mature father. So you want to be like Christ when it's all over. That's His promise. The blessing is not to love you here. The blessing is to love you here, take you through this, and bring you all the way to this. If you lose your life, that's where you actually find it for the first time, because you were actually made by God to know God, unconditional love, through the flame and fire. Trust me here. Trust me. Just keep coming. Come on. I'm going to get rid of all the sin in your life. I'm going to spank you over and over again until you get it. And then, after you're dead, then I'll live through you and you'll be happy. How many know this is the problem right here? I don't mind this one here because I'm already dead here. But it's the dying, it's the getting from living to dying. That's the hard part. I don't want to go through this one right here. Pure worship is only possible for a sinner who is so grateful to God, because my biggest problem, my only problem in life, is that I'm wicked. And I'm not comfortable with that. That rich man wasn't comfortable being a wicked sinner. Are you? Are you comfortable being a loser? Are you comfortable realizing you're nothing? Apart from me, you can do nothing, but you also are nothing. Because the do is number 7. I didn't write 7 up there, but that's a 7. 7 is when you're like 4. 7 is when you're like 4. 7 is when you do the will of God, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. The way you love God, don't worry about God, He's okay. The way you love God is thank Him that there's nothing more to be done. Because you just trust Him, Father, the same Father that loved me as a 5 takes me through the fire as a 6, and I don't mind. Because I'm heading for a 7 where I'll be just like God, which I know that's how you get to heaven. That's how you get into Abraham's bosom. You see, that poor man went through 6. Because he loved God. Because he trusted God. You know, he never gave up his trust in God. So he went straight. The angels carried him. He didn't even go through a funeral thing. The angels, instead of the pallbearers, they carried him right to Abraham. Hey, Abraham, here's another one you got. Oh, it's one of my boys. So, even though in this world he got nothing, he got no fame, he got no name. But Jesus named him. He didn't name the rich man, but he named that man. That was Lazarus. He's in heaven. I hope somebody was blessed today. Powerful, powerful message about what life is all about. You see, the law should fall on Jesus, not on you. Are you comfortable that God loves you and you have nothing to commend you? Are you comfortable with that? That you're actually a wicked person? You know, a lot of people are still struggling. Pastor, I'm a little bit wicked, but not as much as others. Well, no, I want you to be completely wicked. I want you to be as wicked as the rich man. I want you to be as wicked as the rich man. You see, the poor man, he also was wicked. He knew, hey, that's probably because I'm wicked and sinful. And I'm getting my due. No, that has nothing to do with it. That just helps you to realize how wicked you are. But the truth is, you've got a Father in heaven that loves you. And he accepted that. He believed in that. Because of his faith, he was made righteous. Number five, you can stay number five all the way to heaven. If you're not ready today, Pastor, I don't think I'm ready today for six. If you're not ready today, don't be a six. Be a five. Stay in five. Pastor, I'm not ready today. Okay, you can start in on it and then run back to five anytime you want. I do every day. Every day I start out, I'm gonna be a seven when I first wake up. Okay, seven all the way. And then I see the flame. Oh, I think I'll stay a five. You know, and then, you know, as I go through life, I think I'll be a five. You know, and I just like, I have to rethink this all the time. Okay, I think I'm ready today for a six. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Okay, I can't do it. So here's what Jesus says. Beholding me, you are changed. In other words, if I keep my eyes on Jesus and just stay close to Jesus and he goes through the flame, I won't get burned. My flesh will, but my spirit won't. How many know there's a separation that's taking place right there? And I'm going through the trouble, but here's what I'm saying when I'm going through the trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm making it right through, and I'm amazed when I get through. Did I do that? No, you didn't. I did that. Huh. Well, that's kind of amazing. There is true worship. You know why? Because I never thought I could do that. I didn't know I could go through that hell and praise God for my bad marriage, my lousy health, my broken relationships, everything hellish that's gone on. I didn't know I could do that. You couldn't. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But with me, keep your eyes on me, beholding me, keep looking at me, I'll bring you through. How many know that when you make it through, it wasn't you? Because if it had been you, you'd have been here doing what I was doing. Just keep turning around. I'm not ready for the fire. Oh, it's too hot. You know. But when you go through hell in this world, which you will, praise God for that. Amen? How many know that in the world you have trouble? Just in the world. Like if you start loving somebody, you start pretending, you'll find out right away you're pretending. Because when I start loving somebody and they don't appreciate it, I get ticked. I get mad and I bury it because I'm a Christian. But I'll let it out sooner or later. I've loved you for years. Now you treated me like this. You know, it'll come out. And even if it doesn't come out to them, it'll come out to God in the prayer closet. I'm telling you what, you find out you are not the good person you thought you were. The more you, okay, here's how to find out. I'll tell you what, it'll really show your evilness. Start praising God for everything all the time. You'll find out how evil you are. You just praise God for everything. Yeah, you'll find out right away, I don't want to. You'll be just like my kids were. I don't want to. Well, just do it anyway. Just be a hypocrite. I don't even want to be a hypocrite. That's how you find out. You're not nice at all. You're nasty. Now, how many in this church have learned to be nasty? You're more comfortable with being nasty. Peggy raised her hand. You're more comfortable being nasty. I've always told you Peggy is worse than I am. I've always told you that. It's really not worse. It's just exactly equal. That's why it makes a good marriage. It makes a good marriage to be equal in wickedness. I married a wicked woman. It's good. It's good. How many know that when you get married, you're going to marry somebody wicked? So don't pick a good one. Just pick any old person. Wouldn't make any difference who you pick. That person's going to let you down if you have any illusion about them or you. Does anybody can say amen? Yeah, that's the thing about people. They're not trustworthy. You don't have a good friend. You don't have a good mother. You don't have a good nothing. There's no one any good. Except Pastor Jim. But I mean, other than that. Anybody got burned so far? Go through the fire and praise God. Thank you for the last 7 years of my life. Thank you for the last da-da-da-da-da. Thank God. Because that was a gift of God to you. And though the devil was right there, so what? Can the devil stop God or defeat God? He's indefeasible and you're indestructible. He is indefeasible, and if you believe that, your faith will be indestructible. It fadeth not away. The fire cannot burn it. Let the fire come. Why wait till later when the chasm is fixed and it's too late? Do it now. You know why Jesus told this story? It wasn't to tell the story about some rich guy that went to hell. It was to tell the story to the Jews that were still alive, saying, don't worry, it isn't Jesus that you need. You don't need a number three. You don't need a number four. You only need number two. That's enough to convict you that you're wicked and you have to be a five before you can be a six, before you can be a seven. You have too exalted a view of yourself. I can't take suffering, Pastor Jim. Nobody can. Nobody can. But remember this, suffering is good. That's how you learn obedience. Well, Pastor Jim, I'm just not built for it. Oh, well, nobody is. But that's your flesh talking. Here's your spirit. Let's go through the fire. Let's burn off all the dross. How many are excited today? I just inspired you. Judy? Amen. So, hell to pay. That's it, huh? You know? It's good. You can make it in the marriage with Nick right there. You can make it. You can make it. And praise God for Nick. What a gift of God to you. Do you believe that? It's powerful. What a blessing. What a blessing is. And Nick, what a blessing she is. She's brought out all your sin. See, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. You would have just been Greek Orthodox still. You would hardly know you were wicked and wretched. You see? You would have been too religious. Now, you see how wicked you are. She brought that out as a blessing. What a gift of God. Anybody else has a marriage like that? You do, Mark? Amen. Cherry brought all that out? Yep. I know. It's awful. Getting married is not good because it just shows you your bad side. And what it shows you is you don't have a good side. That's what it shows you. You do not have a good side. How many have learned that in relationships? Get a parakeet. Do not relate to people. That's the answer right there. You know, parakeets, they do not, no. I'm telling you, it's people that's our problem. Other people are our problem. They bring out who we are and aren't. They make it too real. But God, here's the thing, we close with this. God loves you unconditionally, never changes his mind. He's never defeated. If he's going to perfect you, he will do it. And he will not do it against your will. If you say, I don't want to go in the fire, he won't take you through the fire. It's voluntary. But here's what he's saying to you. Here's what he's saying to you. You're over here, he's in the fire, saying, Jim, come on with me. No, no, no. Jim, trust me. No, no. How many know you don't trust God? Even though I trust him over here as, you know, saving me, him dying for me, I trust him on that part. I just don't trust him on this part in here. And I don't think I'll ever get to that part over there. I know I won't. And he's saying, Jim, trust me. Come on. You can do it. You can do it. No, I can't. I know you can't, but you can with me. Yeah, you do it. I already did it. Now it's your turn. No. How many know that's your flesh? So he'd just get right over close to you, say, come on, we'll do it together. Okay, you do it. You do it. you do it with me. I'm going to be right with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Come on, let's do it. Da 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 da. And so Jesus, keep going that way. No, 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 no. We're all okay. Turn it up. Turn it up. It's getting hot in here. That's it. It's almost burning off his flesh. You sweet little sweetheart. And he finally gets you to heaven, and you look back and you think, you know, that wasn't so bad because you don't have any flesh anymore. How many believe that that's God? See, what a good pastor I am to bring that out. There's a lot of pastors don't teach you how to go through the flame like that, how to go through the fire. They don't teach you. They don't teach you. They teach you how to, you know. But I teach you how to, yahoo! See, what a blessing. What a good pastor I am. Because I'll tell you what, nobody's flesh wants to go through suffering and trouble and difficulty and bad marriages and bad relationships and bad health and bad, you know, mind and go crazy and, you know, nobody wants that. Why not? Whatever it takes. Amen? Because remember the goal. Remember the goal. Here is Jesus over here before he went through the fire. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And so here's Jesus going right through it because here's what he was thinking the whole time. I sure love Jim. I don't normally like this kind of thing, but it's for Jim. I'm doing this for Jim. I'm doing all this for Jim just to show him it's no big deal. Jim, did you see it? Yeah, come and do it again. No. You're going to go through now with me. He walks back. Come on, you can make it now. No, I can't. I'll die. No, that'll just be your flesh. Your spirit will live. Once I kill your flesh, your spirit's going to be free. How many are ready? Pastor, I'm totally convinced now. The Holy Spirit has convicted me as you were preaching and teaching. Wonderful teaching. I'm ready to go all the way with Jesus. Debbie? Mark? Latrice? Judy? David? 4? Reg? 5? Hey, Crystal, really? No. You can always go back to 5. Okay. It's okay. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12. 12? That's as many as Jesus had. That's enough. The rest of you can go to hell. Either get the fire now or later. That's fair. No. Trust God. He's just saying to you, the same, you cannot fail. I'm with you. The Father has already promised to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure. Don't worry about all the troubles and problems in the world. You have troubles and problems. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now it's all yours. You're going to make it. I don't want you to believe Jesus did it. I don't want you to believe Jesus loves you. I want you to believe that you also are able to love God. How? He'll have to do that. Well, he's the one that did it without you in the first place. Is God not faithful? He will do it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do it. What he said, he will do, or he's a liar, and he can't. Therefore, I'm happy all the time. I'm happy all the time. I don't care what happens to this church, what happens to the United States of America, what happens to the economy, what happens to the relationships. I don't care what happens. Of course I do. I'm like everybody else. I got a flesh. But so what? I'm going to make it because God loves sinners. Doesn't love righteous people. Doesn't want you to have any righteousness. When he takes you through the flame, you find out how much righteousness you have. You'll be naked as a jaybird when you're all done. Because you don't have any. He is all your righteousness. Amen? Don't be surprised that you're wicked and sinful. You don't want to go through the flame. Come on, Jim, come on. Let him take you through. Let him take you through. You'll make it. All right. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Bless you, that's 5, and keep you through number 6. And make his face shine upon you, 7. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, 5, 6, and 7, and give you his peace, his shalom, because you lined up in the perfect way, 5 before 6, 6 before 7. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And amen. I love you all. I love you all. God is good.